Your name, please.
My name is Burl Ives.
And your occupation and position?
Well, singers say that I'm an actor, and actors say that I'm a singer.
Mr. Ives, what does singing and music do that simply saying the words cannot do?
Well, my viewpoint is, I'll have to think about it. My viewpoint is that it sugarcoats the message a little bit.
This is Viewpoint, a series of unrehearsed and personal interviews with people from all walks of life, produced by the Episcopal Church and brought to you as a news and public affairs program of the station. Today's guest is Burl Ives, noted folk singer and actor. Here is the moderator of the award-winning series, Viewpoint, the Reverend Dana F. Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy.
Welcome to Viewpoint, Mr. Burl Ives, and thank you for inviting us here to your home in New York City. When you say that music sugarcoats the words, do you mean that it makes it more palatable or what?
Well, it does. It, in many cases, it makes it sweeter, if you could use that terminology. Or if it's a bad tune, I suppose it could make it sour. So it would depend on your point of view if it's a bad melody. As a matter of fact, there are some things that are, I think, better without a tune. For instance, many people have asked me why I didn't put a tune to Edgar Allan Poe's Annabel Lee. Well, I think it's better without a tune. However, I did record a song which was sort of taken from Annabel Lee once, and was sort of a travesty, but was rather nice. But I think a lot of things sound better without a melody. They're sweeter and more sugar-coated without a tune.
I know, Mr. Ives, that you've been greatly involved in folk music of various kinds. Does folk music come out of the basic experience of people, or is that making too much of it?
Well, I don't know, because I've never defined folk music. That's a pretty difficult thing to nail down. For instance, the Blue Tail Fly, which I've sung a couple million times, I guess, is considered a folk song, and actually it was a composed song and was written for a minstrel show pre-Civil War, but it is now considered a folk song. So it depends upon the texture of a thing, whether you consider it a folk song or not. Take Bob Dylan's songs, they certainly are folk songs, although he wrote them, so it's very difficult to nail them down as to what is a folk song.
Do you find that there are any kinds of music that all kinds of people seem to like?
I don't know, because I don't think I've sung before all kinds of people.
I'd be interested to know, Mr. Ives, when you go about doing a record, do you have any idea about the person you're singing for? Do you imagine a person listening to it, or doesn't it make any difference who you're singing for?
Oh, it's a drama.
What do you mean by that now?
Well, it's something that is it's a story, it's a play, it's a happening, it is true. For instance, now take one of the first category of a song that I worked on for many, many years and sang for many, many years was Barbara Allen. Barbara Allen looked the same. She came down the same road. She went to the same couch and talked to the same man and went out and talked to the father. And these were all characters which always remained the same. So that was just like in a book. However, in this album, where I really didn't know the words, I was reading the words and I was responding to what was happening at that moment. That was an instantaneous experience.
How about religious music? Have you done any of that?
Yes, I have three albums of hymns. Evangelistic hymns.
Do you approach these any differently than you would Barbara Allen or Blue Tail Fly?
Quite differently, because most of these I was familiar with, because they were part of my childhood, so there is a nostalgia there and also an experience of my early training, and so they are very deeply rooted in my my mind and soul, and so these songs are something that's another category.
Do you think, Mr. Ives, that music is important to the very young people? Do you think music should be part of the education of young people?
Well, a part of the education, I suppose so, but in more of a sense, I think it should be a part of life rather than education. Education already begins to mean putting something in somebody's brain, and then it becomes knowledge. And I think that knowledge is halfway between ignorance and knowing.
How about families? Do you think that families have enough music as part of their family festivities or family action?
Probably not, because we get so much from the outside in. In this day and age, everything is packaged, and when you want music, you turn on the machine or you turn on the TV and hear somebody sing. And I think the important things that we do is come from the inside out, and I think there should be much more singing, you know, in families, and people should sing more. It's good for the pipes and also the soul.
I know that in addition to making records, you've been in the theater and been in movies. Do you find the theater different, for example, or more require a different kind of technique or different kind of ability?
No. I find acting and singing the same thing. They stem from the same source. You're dealing with words and emotions and story and poetry and the color of words, and I stand in the same place when I do both things.
How about TV?
Well, there's a little bit of difference in TV in that it's a little bit like instant coffee. I just finished a show last night, and I read most of it from a card, and so it was instant acting and instant singing. So that's something else again, and so you have to rely on an immediate kind of instinct or joy, if you can get it, because the fun that you have when you're doing a TV show is, I think, the important thing to the audience, that is, if you're doing a variety show or something.
I'd be interested to know, Mr. Ives, how did you get started in your career in music? Did something that just happened, came naturally, or?
Well, I always say that it's sort of like a dog taking after a rabbit, you know.
Comes naturally.
Yeah.
Have you had any deals at all with classical music?
Yes, I studied classical music for some time, and I also sang plain chant in St. Mary the Virgin for 3 years, unaccompanied plain chant, plain song, Gregorian chant. And then I sang for 3 years in Riverside Church under Dr. Milligan. I sang there all the oratorios and all that sort of thing. So I've had a rather Catholic training in music.
Do you have any feeling about music as it's used in the churches? Do you think that it's serving the purpose of reaching people spiritually?
I definitely do, in regard to, especially in regard to the Protestant church. It seems to me that they have taken the rather formal hymn very seriously. And the verses, the poetry of these hymns are very archaic, and many of the tunes themselves are very dull. And when I go to church, where it's rather formal church, not a low church, a medium church, I don't really enjoy the music, the hymns very much. I enjoy the responses and the anthems, but the songs that are sung by the congregation I find very dull, and I would very much like to hear one of the old evangelistic hymns, which I'm very fond of. But I think that the spirit of the congregation singing has been greatly dampened by eliminating these spirited old hymns. I love them.
I'd be interested in your reaction to the music which the teenagers seem to like now. I don't know exactly what to call the music. It's very loud, I know.
Well, some of it's very good, and some of it doesn't get to me at all. It's as simple as that.
Do you think there's anything hopeful about the fact that young people seem to be so interested in music?
I think it's very hopeful because the songwriting business used to be centralized around the Brill Building here in New York City. However, now it comes from the colleges and from out in the hinterland, and that's why it's so fresh and so interesting. We got away from the moon and spoon.
Do you think that the young people are looking for anything special in their music?
I think they're looking to express themselves.
What kind of things have you found from your own personal experience in dealing with young people that they look for in their music?
Well, I only know what I've heard, you know, and the songs of Dylan and the Beatles, and I think it's very nice.
Without getting too serious...
let's get serious.
Well, sometimes I think we shouldn't apologize for being serious, should we, Mr. Ives? What do you find, Mr. Ives, are the things that sustain you in your work and in your life?
Well, that's very difficult. Because I'll have to think about that. I think the most important thing is the struggle when the ego comes up, to smack him over the head and say, get down there, I know you, you're going to cause me trouble, and try to keep a positive attitude toward things.
Have you found any difficulty at all in living as a celebrity?
Well, that poses quite a number of problems, because there are a certain number of people who consider a person in show business, or I suppose a baseball player or any other thing, or maybe a priest, it's yourself, something special, and he is not treated as a human being. He's treated in a special manner, and I have never considered myself anything special, and so I have never gotten used to being treated in a special way, and that is also a double-edged sword. They either love you to death or they hate you. You see, it's a little difficult.
Thank you very much, Mr. Burl Ives, for allowing us to come here and visit you in your home in New York and for giving us your viewpoint.
Well, Father Kennedy, you must come back.
This has been Viewpoint, an unrehearsed and personal interview produced by the Division of Radio and Television of the Episcopal Church and presented in cooperation with the National Council of Churches as a news and public affairs program of the station. Today's guest was Burl Ives, noted folk singer and actor.